Let's turn now to the drama unfolding in Yemen. We've been reporting for a long time on the violence and instability there. The focus lately has been on the Houthi rebels who are fighting to take over the country and on the airstrikes launched against them by Saudi Arabia. In just the last week, the violence and chaos have reached a whole new level in the capital Sana'a and in the port city of Aden. We reached out to Hisham Al-Omaisi today. We've spoken with him a lot recently. He's an activist who lives in Sana'a, and he's been in touch with his friends and contacts in Aden.
It's getting really bad. They're not fighting on the outskirts. They're actually fighting in depopulated areas within the city. It's creating hell, basically, for the residents. They're very thin walled down there in Aden because of the humidity. It's very hot there. So the bullets are coming through the residents, through the homes, and it's creating panic, basically.
So you're saying in the streets of Aden, it's basically hand-to-hand combat and innocents are dying?
Exactly.
So how are the ordinary people in Aden going to deal with all this fighting? I mean, how long can they just stay in their homes while this is going on?
Well, this is a problem because the fighting is within the streets, literally just downstairs. The residents cannot even attempt to flee. They cannot even go down on the street. So they're keeping indoors and away from the windows. But that is not really working well because now the bullets are coming through the windows. Now the shelling is in residential areas, so they are being hit. The people who are hiding indoors are now randomly being hit by the shells. It's a very desperate situation.
Did your contacts in Aden talk about any medical assistance for those getting hurt?
Well, some ambulances are trying to get in those conflict areas, but now I'm hearing that even the ambulances are not safe. Stray bullets are hitting the ambulances.
We've heard some reports of masked men coming ashore in Aden from warships. I don't know what that's about. Have you heard anything like that?
Yes, I actually had family down there, and they confirmed that those people were actually from a Chinese fleet that was trying to evacuate some foreigners. So those Chinese Marines basically landed on the port momentarily to evacuate the foreigners, and they just left port. So it's not exactly the ground invasion that it was pitched to be in the media.
So you're in Sana'a, as I said, Hisham. What is the situation there?
In Sana'a, it is surprisingly calm for the past 9 hours or so, which is a major shift from the past 48 hours. For the past 48 hours, the airstrikes and bombardments have intensified. Initially in the week, we had bombardment and airstrikes only during the nighttime, but for the past 48 hours, it has been going on for 24/7.
You're talking about the airstrikes led by the Saudis.
Exactly, the Saudi-led coalition. However, for the past 8 hours, it's been surprisingly very calm.
What do you think that suggests?
Well, we are partly attributing that to the sandstorm. Not good vision. Basically, it's hindering their efforts.
So the fighting in Aden, then, that's between Houthi rebels and who? Who's fighting the rebels?
Basically, the residents of Aden. A lot of people try to presume that it's pro-Hadi soldiers or pro-Hadi military factions within the city.
That would be Abdul Rabu Mansour Hadi, the beleaguered president.
Abdul Rabu Hadi.
Yeah.
Exactly. But the reports that we're getting from on-the-ground reports, they're saying basically it's the residents of Aden that are trying to repel the Houthis. They're not very well organized, and that's why they're losing.
If you had a message for the White House, what would you tell them about how to deal with the situation in Yemen?
Well, what we would like to see the U.S. do is pressure Saudi-led coalition to listen to the voice of reason, to see from the track of 1 week that they've already been into this war, that it's not working, that it's actually creating a humanitarian crisis leading to more instability. So the U.S. should sort of bring some sense back into the Saudi-led coalition and tell them to change the strategy.
Yemeni activist Hisham Al-Omaisi in the capital there, Sana'a. Thank you very much. And as always, stay safe.
Thank you, Marco.
The violence in Yemen is shining a bright light on the Houthi rebels we keep hearing so much about. The Houthis are Shia Muslims, and because of that, they're often depicted as allies of the Shia government in Iran. The rebels deny that, but there is no denying that the Houthis are in league with an ally much closer to home, a powerful ally who reportedly commands the loyalty of thousands inside Yemen. I'm talking about Yemen's former dictator, Ali Abdullah Saleh, and we're about to learn a lot more about him from a woman who spent a year investigating the problems in Yemen. Let's hear a few key parts of my interview with her. Alma Abdul Hadi Jadala joins me. You served as the coordinator and regional expert of the UN panel of experts on Yemen for close to a year. And the panel's report, which came out in January, paints Mr. Saleh as a spoiler? I mean, we've been talking about the Houthis, about the Saudis, about deposed President Hadi, but Mr. Saleh, why focus on him?
Well, Mr. Saleh had 33 years of rule in Yemen, in which he had leveraged for his own benefit. He accumulated a lot of wealth, as the report indicated, between $30 to $60 billion, and was designated and listed.
She goes on, but did you catch that? The man has $30 to $60 billion. I'll come back to that in a moment. First, listen to what else that UN report says Saleh has. Tons of military hardware. Cannons, mortars, tens of thousands of machine guns, even anti-aircraft missiles. Enough for a private army. Jadallah says Saleh kept all that, despite being forced to step down as president in 2011. She says it was part of the negotiated transition that allowed the dictator to stay in Yemen.
And then when the transition happened, you know, most of this equipment, either through his military loyalists, much of it has been moved to military camps belonging to him. And so he literally amassed all this power, which he would be leveraging at this moment in response to the events that are happening on the ground.
Now, back to all that wealth Saleh accumulated. Jadallah points out that Yemen and its people have remained extremely poor over the past three decades, plagued by food shortages and lacking in basic sanitation and water. But she says Saleh got creative in order to amass his billions.
He used a lot of patronage. He benefited from a lot of illicit trade. He made sure he was part of a lot of business deals that were brokered through Yemen as a country. He also, again, like I said, did not take care of his country the way it should have been taken care of.
Did Mr. Saleh in any way enable the Houthis to take over so much of Yemen as they have?
This is the most important question. His loyalists were seen, former military senior leaders who were seen either impersonating the Houthis, meaning either wearing symbols to indicate that they were Houthis, but they were recognized by the local population that they were former Saleh military personnel. And so, yes, there has been an alliance between him and the Houthis. From Saleh's perspective, he could never accept that he was taken out of power. That was one of the biggest challenges for him. He also looked around with the Arab Spring and saw that other presidents have not given up their seat in spite of local discontent. So he felt shortchanged by the 2011 agreement, even though he had negotiated immunity for himself.
So, Dr. Jadallah, I have to ask you this, too, because we found details about five luxury condominiums in Washington, D.C., owned by a one Ahmed Ali Abdullah Saleh. Is there a connection?
You could assume that they have distributed their money over many countries, probably including the U.S., and there are formal inquiries by the Security Council with regard to these types of assets.
What does your report conclude, though, that Ali Abdullah Saleh is power-hungry or he actually has the best interests of Yemen in mind?
I think he continues to be power hungry. In his mind, maybe he thinks he has contributed to Yemen. But like I said, the numbers are quite startling in terms of the performance of the country. And by the time he left, the 2011 revolution did not happen in a vacuum.
Alma Abdul Hadi Jadallah served as the coordinator and regional expert of the UN panel of experts on Yemen from May 2014 to March of this year. Dr. Jadallah, thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.